Are we doing this?
The following presentation is for mature audiences only. It is not intended for children, the oversensitive, or self-righteous gas bags with sticks up their butts.
This project is extremely dangerous.
It's because I blew it out of the goddamn airlock.
You're listening to the Guardians of the Geekery podcast, featuring Matt Starnslord, Carol the Cat, the Giddy Geeker, and Tim the Technician.
Okay. We were all quiet. I was like, maybe we'll get through this. Maybe we'll get through it.
And now, damn right they shot first.
You know.
The hosts of Guardians of the Geek.
That's us.
Episode 130!
Woohoo!
Kumbaya, my lord, kumbaya. Oh lord, kumbaya. Here we are.
The what?
Geekery stuff. Bum, bum, bum.
We'll introduce our guests.
Sound off. Tim, my cousin Tim. Savannah.
Savannah.
Lisa.
Lisa Jelani.
Woo.
And you guys are here from Waxhaw Ghost Tours.
That's right.
Dun, 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 found.
www.waxhawghosts.eventbrite.com.
I was like, what are they for?
Every right. Friday and Saturday.
Every Friday and Saturday, 6 to 10.
All right.
Tour on the hour every hour.
Yeah, book now.
Book now.
Bring friends, it's cheaper.
Yes, bring three friends, it's cheaper.
Discounts.
So speaking of friends, Son of Zorn is a friend of Matt's.
Oh, yeah. That's I don't know where to go from there. Son of Zorn is that crazy little Fox hybrid show of, it's a sitcom. And it's half animated, half not. So I think of Masters of the Universe. Think of He-Man had a real wife and went to L.A. to visit her and his son. And he's doing mundane things in this world, but he's big old He-Man. So it's pretty wild. This past week was the 13th episode. And like a lot of shows right now, they don't know if they're going to renew it or not. So there might be season 2 or might not be, but... They actually have Funko Pops of Son of Zorn.
But not the West Wing.
Not yet.
I haven't seen my Stranger Things pops yet either.
Yeah, I know. Neither
have I. There's a ton coming out this week.
That's what I hear.
Yeah.
March 3rd, yeah.
Yeah, there's 300 pops are coming out in the next month.
Ghost in the Shell. I wanted the Ghost in the Shell one. Yeah, they're doing one about at least the Major and I think a couple villains.
Yeah.
Parks and Rec, Guns N' Roses, all the stuff.
What the hell are they doing Guns N' Roses for?
They're only doing 3 of them, but they're already out. But it's Axl Rose back in, with a kilt back in the day, not the chubby Axl Rose. and then of course Slash. I love the top hat and the hair.
The Slash is adorable. He just got his little eyes covered. Yeah, I was like,
I want all those.
And I then, do want the Duff, Parks and Rec but, ones though.
Yeah, those are cool.
Little Sebastian.
Yeah.
Yeah, Little Sebastian. I like that they did Little Sebastian. But I need a Ron Swanson Funko for my desk.
Yes, everybody needs it. Everybody needs it.
My question is, where are the Arrested Development Funko Pops? That seems like something that should be a thing. I would own all of them, but it's not a thing.
Netflix, take care of it.
You have to stop tapping your hand.
Oh, sorry. I'm bad about that.
You're fine. But yeah, Son of Zorn. So just check it out. In this episode, he is actually kidnapped and taken back to Zephyria, which is
his
animated world. So, and they're looking for a staff, but unfortunately, they don't believe him because Zorn got rid of all his Zephyrian things in a yard sale. So he's not telling a clever lie. He actually lost the staff that can make people do it. Do anybody's will.
So it's not the Big Little Lies that they think it is.
Uh-huh. No.
Wow, nice that's one. A nice segue.
So, Big Little Lies is in its second week on HBO. It's a mini series brought to us by David E. Kelly.
Oh, geez, is that why you're watching it?
No.
You don't love? No, it's the other guy. It's the West Wing guy.
Sorkin.
Aaron Sorkin.
David, you watch everything.
David E. Kelly, I think he did like The Practice.
Yeah. He also did Picket Fences.
Yeah. But starring Nicole Kidman, Reese Witherspoon, Shailene Woodley, it's basically a story about this community in California, and in the first episode, somebody dies, and you have no idea who. So it's kind of taking you through this community and the events. It's a mini series, so it's not going to last too many episodes, but the events leading up to a trivia night where this person gets murdered. Trivia and night. So I found the show so compelling.
Trivia nights are getting really dangerous.
Yeah.
A trivia pursuit.
I found the show so compelling that I actually started reading the book, and I'm at the trivia night. I'm like almost at the end of the book. I'm at the trivia night, but I still don't know who died.
Are you going to save the ending until after the miniseries?
No, that's not how I roll.
Yeah.
No, I want to know.
Screw that.
I definitely want to know. I almost, to the point that I almost last night just Googled who died. But,
because it's not a whodunit, it's a who died it.
It's who right? dies, but I mean, what are the circumstances around it, you know, because you know it's one of the three main characters that dies.
Huh.
And in the first episode, they say her brains are liquefied. And all like a very violent death, so it's kind of interesting to get to know these women and who dies and all the community around it. But apparently they released all, I think it's 7 episodes, and they released the first 6 to the press, and the press are saying that even to that last point,
yeah,
you don't have any idea who killed somebody or who died.
Well, good.
So I think it's fantastic, so I recommend it on HBO Sunday nights.
Dun, dun, dun.
How many episodes are they going to have? 7? Did you
say
7?
Okay. I think 6, 7, something like that, yeah.
It could be a legion.
Nice.
I know.
Oh. You're trying really hard here.
Yeah.
So I just watched the first 2 episodes of Legion. I had no idea this was a Marvel show until I turned
X-Men
it on.
X-Men family, yeah.
Yeah, it's a story of David Haller, who is the mutant son of Charles Xavier, and who is diagnosed with paranoid schizophrenia and put into a lunatic asylum. In actuality, it's just his mutant powers. But it's a very disjointed show. It's a very unique show, but it's told kind of from his perspective, so you have strange interludes of kind of insanity because he thinks he's insane and he's on medication. So you'll have just dance numbers occasionally pop up. And it's not until he actually escapes from the asylum, and he does this because he touches his girlfriend, and I'm using ka-ching, ka-ching, air quotes. Actually she is his girlfriend. They just can't touch because she's in there because she doesn't want any sort of physical contact. In actuality, that's her mutant power. If you touch her physically, she actually inhabits your body. She switches bodies with you. So when she's leaving and he finally gives in and kisses her, they switch bodies and he actually walks out as her. And she gets stuck in there, and she goes crazy because his powers are so extreme. He actually pushes everybody away from him and into walls and into places where doors disappear. It's just really, it's an interesting show, and I'm finding it kind of fascinating because it's kind of told from his disjointed mental state.
The comic was always really visually appealing and very trippy like that.
Yeah.
So that it sounds like pretty faithful. So
yeah. Stars Dan Stevens, who was recently on Downton Abbey.
Oh.
The Beast.
Yes.
In the upcoming Beauty and the Beast.
Yes, yeah. And he's the Beast in upcoming Beauty and the Beast. And so it's actually quite good.
And that's not the only Marvel show that we have some information on.
Yes. This one's untitled as of yet. It's another mutant drama. And they've cast Stephen Moyer, who was on True Blood. He played Bill. The reason I could not watch the show was because his terrible, terrible accent.
I know. It was like the 3rd season. I loved it, but it was like the 3rd season. I was like, I can't hear him say Sookie one more time.
I couldn't get past the second episode.
Sookie.
No, I can't do it. I read every book she wrote, but I could not do the show.
Yeah.
But he's playing a person named Reed. Series is yet untitled, so it doesn't have...
Very strange.
Yeah, I don't know if this is an actual character. Reed is described as an ambitious attorney trying to balance the demands of his jobs at the DA's office and his responsibilities to his family. So his family are ordinary humans, and he and his wife are ordinary humans, and their kids have mutant abilities. So this is created by Matt Nix, who did Burn Notice. And Brian Singer is directing the pilot, so...
That's pretty cool.
Lots of X-Men alumni. And Brian Singer is, of course, directed 3 or 4 of the X-Men movies. But
interesting.
We'll know more when they actually title the darn thing.
They are going to have a true X-Men character in that, Blink. She's a teleporter. but she doesn't really control her powers too much, so that's
yeah. She was in Days of Future Past.
A little bit.
Vileen played her for at the very beginning. So
very nice.
So we shall see.
We shall see. Speaking of voices,
in your head.
Last night was the initial launch of The Voice. They were doing the audition. So if you haven't watched The Voice, because it's not a dancing show, I've not explained it before. But basically they have four judges and they sit with their backs to a stage. And somebody comes out and they start singing. And if the judge feels that there's something compelling enough that they would want that person to be on their team, they hit a button, it swings their chair around, and they get to see who's singing. If the person goes through the whole 90-second audition and nobody turns the chair around, they don't get to be on the show any further. But if at least one person turns the chair around, they could be on their team. And if multiple people push the button, then they get to choose which team they're on. And so the judges then tell why they think they would be the best judge. But these judges do these head-to-head competitions first with their own team until they whittle it down to just a couple people, and then they go against each other. And then your goal is to be the ultimate voice. But the judges do have the opportunity that if somebody says, hey, I think I'm going to go with Carol instead of Tim, that they're like, hey, I'm going to steal Tim from you and keep him on their team. So it's an interesting concept. I like the fact that, you know, they're not judging them on appearances. They're judging them, like, radio style on The Voice alone. A lot of times, once they turn around, then they're like, oh, if I'd known, I would have picked you. So this season, it's Blake Shelton, who's been on it since the beginning, as well as, what's his name? Yes, it went straight out of my head. All I could think of, striped sweatered man. Adam Levine.
Freddy Krueger?
No.
Freddy Krueger, new judge on The Voice.
So the other judges have changed over time. CeeLo Green was on at one time. Christina Aguilera was on at one time. Miley Cyrus was on at one time. But this season, it's Gwen Stefani, which is her second time back. And then Alicia Keys, and I believe that's also her second time back. But Blake and Adam are kind of both always on it. So so it was interesting. We got to see the first night. You know, they always do the same thing, just like any other audition show, where they do the little package at the beginning that makes you all weepy. Mm-hmm. And then you're either rooting for the person. You can tell if the person's going to get picked or not, because if there's not this huge story, they're probably not going to get picked. Mm-hmm. But it's definitely good, and of all the reality shows, it's the one I'm most interested in right now. So, thoughts, Matt?
I think it's fun. I do like the blind thing, just purely listening to The Voice, I think, is the way to do it. And then, I don't know about the stealing part. You were trying to tell me about that last night.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't care about that so much.
I think the difference between this versus America's Got Talent or American Idol is that there's a lot more coaching involved, that these guys actively get involved coaching their people.
Yeah.
And they bring in fellow coaches to help them, too. So I think that's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Unlike Samurai Jack, which, I don't think he coaches anybody.
No, he doesn't coach anybody. So there's a new Samurai Jack clip on the Adult Swim Facebook page. I'm getting really excited about this. I love Samurai Jack. I'm glad they're bringing it back. It's going to be 10 episodes in this season. It's going to end the series, so this will be it. They'll finish Jack's story, which was one of the reasons why I'm glad it's coming back, because they didn't finish Jack's story. And I'm like, can I please get an ending? Poor Jack. So I'm looking forward to that. That starts on March 11th. So I'll let you know how it is when it starts. It's on the Adult Swim blog.
Sounds good. Mm-hmm. Now, if you listen to episode 129, we got talking a little bit about ghosts from the Ghost Tours, and Tiffany's biggest words were "get out." That actually works pretty well, because you actually went to the movie Get Out.
I did.
Tell us about it.
I did. My friend and I had been hearing all this buzz about, I guess, on Rotten Tomatoes, it had a 100% approval.
100% until, like, one douchebag.
Right. So, it's a story about a African-American gentleman that goes home with his white girlfriend to meet her, of course, white family, and he gets a very serious, weird vibe from the family and a subsequent party that they have with all these other white people that sort of comment on his physical characteristics and stuff, and he has very good reason to feel off-center about it, but so it's effective in being creepy. It's played a little bit more for laughs. I mean, it is written and directed by Jordan Peele from Key and Peele.
Oh.
So
it's a horror movie?
It's a kind of a thriller.
It's
yeah.
kind of a horror-omedy. It's not like yeah. slapstick. Scary, I haven't maybe. Seen it. I'm is going it? To see it. It's not slapstick like Evil Dead.
Right.
But it has satirical elements
yes.
to it.
Well, when
it's social commentary,
yeah.
right?
Right.
Obviously, so.
Basically, right. Yeah. right. And he has a best friend who definitely is like the comedy in the movie. He's a TSA agent and takes his job very seriously. yeah. And it was really quite a fun movie. Went by very quickly. I think everybody played their roles pretty effective. We have Bradley Whitford from The West Wing
sure.
as the dad of Allison Williams. Oh, seeing him.
He can be creepy. Oh, my God.
He can.
Yeah,
the
yeah.
whole family's creepy. Catherine Keener's in it.
Oh,
I will never look at having tea the same again.
okay.
Just say that. And the movie was good. I mean, I won't say that I thought it was like the most amazing 100% Rotten Tomato thing, but...
But they judge. Their 100% is if it's... If you're giving it like a passing grade,
a positive versus
then,
yeah. So
it goes
yeah.
into the fresh.
Based on that, I give it a positive.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I thought it was fun.
Well, definitely when we saw Keanu last year, which was Key and Peele,
mm-hmm.
there was some, as much as it was funny, there was definite creepy moments in there. So
there
I
was a little violent moments.
Yes. Yes. Well, you know, when they're the altar versions of themselves, that was definitely... We saw it in the middle of the day, and I was still like, I don't want to meet those people in an alley. So it was very interesting. So speaking of things we might not want to meet in an alley, Kong,
oh.
Skull Island, the final trailer came out. That's coming out on March 10th. So, Carol, you saw the trailer.
Yeah, the trailer is actually, it's beautiful. It's going to be kind of excited about this. I mean, it's not like I must see this, like Logan, this weekend. But I'll probably go see it because it looks really good.
Yeah.
And the CGI is looking goddamn amazing.
And the awesome thing is that if you actually go over to the Charlotte Geeks Facebook page, we'll have a link to some free passes to see it on March 7th.
Before it comes out?
Before it comes
Whoa.
Out, 3 whole days. And we will also have some cool stuff for Kong to give away when we're at Charlotte Comic Con on March 12th.
That's
so
neat.
Make sure that you visit the Charlotte Geeks Facebook page. Don't be a spammer. And you can get the hookup for some free movie passes. We have those quite often. And then also make sure you come by and see us at our table at Charlotte Comic Con. And you can check that out as well. So I'm not going to be able to see it on the 7th, but I'm definitely looking forward to seeing it. I think it'll be fun.
I will say, too, I was out and about. Davey Bushop was helping me get some car stuff at Walmart. And, of course, we had to go by the toy aisle. And the big Kong is probably like 18 inches or something. It looks beautiful. I mean, and usually they mess up the toys. Like, if it's a crappy movie, they make some crappy toys. But this was like, he really looked good. So I think that's sometimes a good indication, too.
Sometimes they mess up even the not crappy movies. Because if you saw the Belle doll that came out.
I did see that. It looks like an old lady.
For the new Beauty and the Beast.
Please.
Oh, my God. It was so horrible.
She looks like the Crimson Chin, please.
Yeah, poor Emma Watson. Poor Emma Watson must have been horrified when she got the prototype for that.
License. Oh,
it was bad.
Maybe
she'll
want to put a mask on and just be a Nightwing.
that one wasn't as good.
Oh, dear God.
Hey, you know, it's the last one of that section.
Oh, yeah.
Finish
so,
us out on movies there, Matt.
Yeah, so this is in negotiations, but based on the success of Lego Batman, the director, Chris McKay, is in talks with DC Warner Brothers to direct Nightwing. So Nightwing, who this is? This is the original Robin from Batman and Robin, grown up, and he doesn't like the short pants, so he graduates into Nightwing, and it's a black and blue suit, and he just has he's got the mask, but it looks like a bat sort of thing. And it's when he was part of the New Teen Titans, so it was kind of cool because he kind of graduated to a next an X thing. So, but in the Lego Batman movie, I've not seen it, but Michael Cera, I guess, plays Dick Grayson. So apparently it's super annoying, so I don't see them going the Michael Cera route to do the Nightwing movie.
No, I don't think so.
I think I get somebody with muscles.
Did anyone notice the Siri? The Batman, yes. The Lego Batman Siri thing?
If you were playing with it, yeah.
If you address Siri as computer, or hey computer, or hey pewter, it will...
So will Alexa.
Ah.
I think. It's a Star Trek one for that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So. Well, hey, computer. That's the Alexa's
hey,
the Star
pewter.
Trek.
Hey, pewter. Yeah.
Hey, pewter for Siri. It will also do for hey, computer, but it'll do a Lego Batman.
That's like, your lobster thermidor is in the microwave.
Hey, pewter.
<Masters.
Peter.
laughs>
Hey, pewter. No.
That's awesome.
Say hey, computer.
Oh, it's trying to give me Peter for Christopher Dale Peter.
Oh, okay.
Hey, computer.
You have a message from the Condiment King. It says PBBBFFFTTTT.
Apparently that's from Lego Batman.
There's like seven of them. The also thing about the night, they've got the guy who wrote the accountant screenplay, Bill DeBeek, writing the Nightwing screenplay. So I guess if you get a script, that's usually the thing that kind of gets it. And they have a director that gets it over the hump. So be interesting to see what happens with that. Which is weird because in the cinematic universe, there's not been any role who, you know, there's never been no Nightwing popping up at all. They did have the Robin costume, but there's been five Robins, so I'm not sure which costume it was. It appears to be Jason Todd.
Yeah, because it's
in Batman Superman, it's in the Batcave.
Yeah, but they also showed it in Suicide Squad.
Maybe briefly, but
one of the Joker flashbacks or something.
Yeah. But. It's just
because it had
the Joker wrote on it and the Batman. So we're not sure. That's really the second Robin. So I'm not sure how far they're going to go with this or have flashbacks or maybe just ignore it completely, knowing how DC does sometimes.
Yeah. Speaking of flashbacks and replays, we had an interesting finale to the Oscars this week.
I just watched that again. This is so painful.
We didn't watch the Oscars not here live, at our house, so we didn't know until the next morning. But, Carol, I believe you were watching the Oscars.
I was trying to watch the Oscars, and got to this, but apparently you never think this is ever going to happen, or you joke of what will happen when this happens, but they opened the wrong envelope for Best Picture, and called La La Land when, in fact, Moonlight won. Everybody was like on stage, and they're like,
they had already given their speech.
And they were saying, you know, when a producer with the headset comes out, you know something really bad came down. But they apparently had picked up an extra envelope for Best Actress because Emma Stone had won Best Actress for La La Land.
Well, you know, Warren Beatty kind of stared at it for like a good 25 seconds.
And then that bastard handed it to Faye Dunaway. It's like, I'm not going to say this.
He's like trying to hand off the blame. Oh, I'm not going to get in trouble for this.
And the funny thing is, apparently they had like kind of argued prior to the broadcast about who would get to announce the winner. And I guess he won, but then was like...
Screw that, I don't want to take the blame for
but this. But I was so fucking annoyed by that, too, because without even it being the wrong winner, I was like, they will do anything to keep this damn thing going. Why is he taking so long? Like, announce, spit it out, Warren Beatty!
But, you never think that will happen, but it actually happened, and they had to, like, give their Oscars back, and then the Moonlight people came up.
There was a really interesting, in my Twitter feed, because I don't get on there enough, because everything is connected to Twitter, so when I post on Facebook, it it sends me things. Here's the stuff you missed on Twitter today. But there was actually a bunch of the pictures of the audience's faces while this happened. And then they would do close-up shots of, like, Meryl Streep. Yeah. And over her shoulders, like, Shirley MacLaine, who's the sister of Warren Beatty, going, oh, my God. And then there was a British actor in the front, and I'm going to mess up his name, but he happened to be African-American, and he just had this smirk on his face, like, you know they messed this up, and I'm on the front seat to watch it. And it was that was one of the comments. And then, it was just Ben Affleck's looking back at Matt going, Matt, what's going on? What's going on?
I do like that M. Night Shyamalan tweeted, hey, how'd you like my ending to the Oscars? Nice.
I actually love him. He gets so much flack, but I actually love Shyamalan. I actually love him so much.
No, I'm not particularly fond of his style.
But he's been missing Carol. Lately, but I like his
original. It was good, by the way.
Yeah.
It has its issues. And they're all on him, not on McAvoy. I did love McAvoy.
Yeah, it wasn't perfect, but, I mean, pretty good.
But, yeah, so that was the ending to the Oscars. And then they did give an Oscar to Casey Affleck. Mm. I really thought they would not, because he has some sexual harassment issues hovering over his head.
But he was never convicted.
He settled out of court.
He settled out of court, but he had said that he would fight back, and then they wouldn't let him. Mm. So, here's my thing. I don't think that you should reward bad behavior, and if he was guilty of it, I don't think that it's okay.
I just wish he had brushed his hair.
But I do.
I hope that's for a lawyer.
I hope so too.
I do have concerns that there are certain people that will say anything about anybody,
yeah,
just to try to get money out of them and ruin somebody's life. And I've seen it happen to people that I personally know, and I would not want that wished on my worst enemy.
I will
that
say,
will never leave your life. Mm-hmm. He'll be once convicted of or once accused of for the rest
forever
of
tainted.
Their lives. Yeah,
I will say, I did not see Hacksaw Ridge. But of the four best actor performances, I do think his was the best.
Casey
Affleck was the best. So I'm not saying it's not deserving. I thought they would give it to Denzel Washington because of the problems that he was having. And I was fully prepared to go, no, please don't give it to Denzel, because that's not
why do you look so pissed off when they announced
it? I think because he had won several other awards. And I think he was anticipating that this one was kind of a shoo-in. And Viola Davis had won, and I think he was just thinking, oh, this is a shoo-in. And I'm thankful they didn't, because quite frankly, I don't think his performance in Fences was that good.
Like you said, you felt like he was trying to do a Broadway performance
on film, and he was playing to the back row, and I'm like, dude, you're on film, you don't have to scream at me. And Denzel Washington is such a good, subtle actor that mm-hmm. was just lost completely in this film. But I am glad that Viola Davis won, because I think she was the best thing about Fences.
She's great.
I'm glad that... I don't want to butcher his name, who won for Moonlight for Best Supporting Actor, but I'm also glad that he won. Which I believe was the first Muslim actor to win an acting award.
Correct. That's what they're stating.
Yeah.
So.
They've won amazing. Best Foreign Film. Directors have won Best Foreign Film, but I think he's the first Muslim actor to win one. So other than that, it was a fairly boring. I mean, Jimmy Kimmel was okay.
I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah,
but it will be talked about for years to come, and he was there.
Yeah.
I enjoy him picking on Matt Damon.
Yeah.
I like that gag.
So, but the rest of it was just kind of I was pretty shocked that Zootopia won Best Animated.
Mm-hmm.
I was anticipating Moana to win.
I did too.
I felt like that came out forever ago. It's been
I don't think Disney thought it would do well, which is why they dumped it in February. It didn't have the star voice cast on it. It had, you know, Jason Bateman and Jennifer Godwin. It was like, who are these people? But I don't think Disney thought it would do all that well, so they just kind of dumped it in February, and it became this kind of surprise hit. My personal choice would have been Kubo. I really wanted Kubo and the Two Strings to win, because, damn it, please give Laika an award for something, because they're awesome. But I kind of figured Disney would take this. I just went to the Disney film that I didn't think would win. So
we went to MysticCon.
We did. This was our fourth or fifth year.
Yeah,
at MysticCon.
I think fourth would be right. John DeLancey, we saw him. We saw Sean Mayer.
Yeah.
Tony Todd. This year was Tony Todd, Sherilyn Fenn, and Jason Carter.
And we went the year George R. R. Martin was there, and they didn't have
four.
At least four. Yeah.
At least four. So it was a little quieter Friday night, but looking at the pictures that other people posted, it was just very clear that we were on a hallway that was less traveled this year, so we did not see as many people as we normally would. But Sherilyn Fenn made me cry. She was so sweet.
She also called us a hazard.
That was before she made me cry. That was my fault. We were trying to... It was Sunday morning. We hadn't seen her yet. And I will honestly say that I was rolling the luggage cart and I was the person going backwards. And so I was seeing bodies and yelling out because the hallway was kind of full. And I was just like, cart coming through, women with cart coming through. And then we saw a friend of ours, Matthew Carell. And that's who I saw and I recognized him. And I said, he does State of the Nerd. And I just said to him, Matthew, I don't want to hit you. With two women driving a luggage cart, neither one of us has had enough caffeine. And then I just kept moving on, and I guess evidently she yelled out, that's a hazard, get out of the way. So when I went up to her later, I did apologize and said, I'm so sorry, we almost ran you over with the cart. And she goes, hey, women without coffee, I'm all about that. And she had this huge cup of Starbucks in front of her. But she did sign a photo of herself from Twin Peaks that we will be having in the Geek Gala, as well as a Twin Peaks athletic shirt where she's written her name, Audrey, across the front like you used to do, so you'd know which t-shirt was yours. And we have a second one where it says Love Audrey on it. It's a black t-shirt. So those all will be going in the Geek Gala raffle basket, which basket you'll have to wait and find out. But very cool. We saw Tony Todd in the hallways a couple times, and Jason actually partied with us for a while. Yes. And then he and I were in an elevator together, and he goes, well, I hope you have some food, because one should never be in an elevator without food in case it stops. And his handler actually had a big bag, and I pointed that out to him, and he's like, oh, yes, quite right. So... Other than that, what did you think of it?
It was a very good con. I like Mysticon. It's a fun convention. They generally sell out every year because they're in a small hotel that desperately needs to be renovated. but it's in Roanoke.
Yeah.
You're not going to find a whole lot of hotel space there. So, and they seem to have a very good relationship with this hotel. So I recommend it. You get your tickets early. Get your hotel early.
What crowd was it for? What's
your fandom? It's a general science fiction convention. It's kind of like Con Carolina's, only slightly smaller because they do have the limited space and the limited ticket sales. Mm-hmm. But it's a general science fiction convention. They
couple panel rooms.
Yeah.
Art show.
Dealer's room. A rather small dealer's room. But again, limited space. But it's kind of a party con. It's a generally relaxing convention for people, and they just go there to kind of have fun.
They have several floors of gaming in the hallways, mm-hmm. including the fifth floor, which outside of a very huge con suite, you can play all sorts of video games like Donkey Kong for free.
Yeah, they had about four stand-up video games there. Asteroids, really old Asteroids game that sorry I didn't get it to go play, but they had Donkey Kong and Ms. Pac-Man there as well.
And they also have a film room where they actually have couches and lounging chairs.
That's
nice. So that when you're in there, I mean, I would say that they've got a pretty strong film fest following. Yeah. So, and we actually met Sammy, the comic book man, which we will be posting our interview with him at the table, where you can tell we are at a con because people start coming up to us and trying to talk to us while we were recording.
And then people are yelling, Tony Todd's signing autographs in the dealer's room.
We're like,
it's a fun con. I look forward to next year.
So, you know, we also want to take a moment and just pay homage to the fact that Bill Paxton passed away. Not Bill Pullman. Do not get him confused. And Carol auto-corrected in the wrong direction.
I auto-corrected the wrong one. Yeah. I sent a text to a friend saying, Bill Pullman died. Bill Paxton died. And he's like, that was the best laugh I had all weekend because you did the exact thing that everybody does.
Yeah.
But 61, far too young. Complications due to his surgery. So we can't blame cancer for this one. The only actor to be killed by a Predator, an Alien, and a Terminator. So, we will miss him. Game over, dude.
I think my favorite role was when he was in Hatfields and McCoys.
He was very good in Hatfields and the McCoys. He's also in one of my favorite vampire films, Near Dark, which I love. So,
and I like Big Love.
Yeah,
I can't believe his wives didn't all kill him at different points. Because I don't know how he kept up with all that. Oh my gosh.
But he was actually a good actor.
Yeah.
So he will be missed.
So our question for this week, because we've gotten to questions.
Oh yeah, questions.
I had posted to our Guardians of the Geekery page, tell us your song, and then listen next week, which is tonight. give me one song only that means a lot to you.
Oh.
So we actually have like 20 people that have responded. So we cannot play all of your songs, but we do want to mention them. So Jim Craig said Won't Back Down by Tom Petty.
Oh, yeah.
Which I can totally see that. And Ash Yates, who's going to be running our role playing, has mentioned the zombie song by Nightcore. And then Hannibal the Magician mentioned Neverland by Marillion. Chicago actually picked one of our songs. Nathan Teal picked Chicago's You're the Inspiration.
Aww.
Aww.
That's so sweet.
Yes. Ellen picked Killer Queen by Queen. Sherman Burris picked Common Ground by Midnight Oil. Ashley Thomas, who's been on here talking about the Mythcard Institute, and Sherman's been on talking about Trivia Night, but Ashley Thomas talked about Linus and Lucy by Vince Guaraldi. So right there. Mm-hmm. So she's right in that Charlie Brown world. And then Bernie Gunder said Number 41 by Dave Matthews Band. I don't know which one Number 41 is. That's not popping up.
41?
Yeah.
It's the 40.
Is that their 40 joke, number? You don't know what Number 41 is? It's 41. Ha, ha, ha. Never mind. I was trying to be funny.
How's that working out for you?
Not very well.
Mary Lynn Call said, "No, Not Dark Yet" by Bob Dylan. I would need an interpreter for that song. So Michael Spittler said, "If you have 10 minutes, listen to Trapeze Swinger by Iron and Wine." Then some people picked ones that were interesting. J.D. Winterbourne picked Winterbourne by Crux Shadows. Kim Wunderlich Katie, who's been on our show talking about the foreign exchange student opportunities, she picked Sweet Jane with the Cowboy Junkies version.
Oh, yeah.
And then Drew Badger picked Fall of the Empire by Horror Vacui. And if I'm saying that wrong, I'm sorry. Tina Louise Jones says, Who Needs Sleep? By Bare Naked Ladies. Jessica, following the theme of JD, picked Jessica by the Allman Brothers Band. Douglas Davidson picked Coheed and Cambria, A Favor House Atlantic. And Kyle Denny picked You're the Best from Karate Kid. He put Sweep the Leg.
Oh.
So, Sean Conley put The Fool on the Hill. You're not a fool. But I do like that. Now, our good friend Candace Cortinas, who's from Robot Johnson, kind of keeps all those guys together. She said Concrete Blonde Joey. She goes, It immediately popped into brain by word association. But if you don't like songs containing your name, try Snow Patrol's Run. Misty Massey had said Anna Nalix, Breathe, 2 a.m., which I love that song.
It's a good song.
Yeah. And then Ian Kaiser put Wake Me Up When September Ends, the September song by there. So lovely panel of people. Tiffles, if you were to pick a song that would best describe you.
That best describes me, I would say it's
Or means a lot to you, yeah.
They're two separate things.
Okay.
The song is called Don't Just Do Something, and it's by a band called Spiritualize. And basically the whole song is like an oxymoron. It's about like sitting around contemplating doing great things, but then letting yourself off the hook for not doing those great things because then you didn't disappoint yourself. And it's just this whole cyclical argument about being great and your potential, but then not doing the things. And it's a very me song. Good song. Like that band a lot.
Awesome. Tara.
So are we talking describe me or mean a lot to me?
The actual graphic says, and this was a graphic I stole from my friend Melanie, give me one song that means a lot to you.
Okay.
So that I can know you better.
So it means a lot to me. I'm going to do both. Means a lot to me, I'd have to say How Soon Is Now from the Smiths, because that song just speaks to me. Anything Morrissey says speaks to me. If you're going to describe me, I would say Almost Human by Voltaire, Aurelia Voltaire at this point. Or... Oh, and it's gone now. No, I'm going to go with Creep by Radiohead. So either Creep by Radiohead or Almost Human by Voltaire.
You're such a creep.
I am such a creep.
Who said Creep? Didn't Ian... Oh, Ian Kaiser had said Creep, but
he did on a different...
It.
I think it's a different... He put that on a different thread, but...
That was... No, that was on the Facebook Live
video. Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, Starnes Lord.
It doesn't really describe me, but... This I was thinking about this. I listen. What I do is I listen. Unfortunately, Giddy Geeker knows this. I'll listen to a song and put it on repeat, and I just love a song and love it to hell. Drive to work listening to it. At work, at home. Unfortunately, sometimes for Giddy Geeker. But anyway.
No, it's just that all of a sudden I'll realize that that's the fifth time I've heard that because I'll be in the other room and so I'll only hear snippets of it, and then I'll be like. Dude, do you have like a really short playlist? He's like, yeah, song of one. Over and over. So.
But I was playing one this week. I didn't mean to even hit on it, but it was Guns N' Roses, Appetite for Destruction, but Rocket Queen. I just love that song. It's the last song on that album when they actually made albums. But it starts off and it's kind of slow and it kind of builds up and then it has this whole reprise to it that's like half the song. It's really crazy. But it just takes me back to when I was in radio, and it was my first radio gig, and of course the station got sold, and this new GM came in and fired everybody except for the guys who were making much money, which was me, because I was producing the morning show and doing like a weekend shift, and so I had to do all these shifts, and he said, lose the license. We don't have the new station in place yet, so play whatever you want to, lose the license, and I put on Appetite for Destruction, and... cranked it and the phone lines just went Christmas tree, every line was lit up and I just jammed out, and it just takes me back to that moment. It's like using a 100,000 watt radio station as your personal stereo. It was just like so it was pretty cool. So
Tim.
All right, so I'll go with the one that I think describes me the most. Real Tuesday Weld, not a very well-known band. There's a song called Me and Mr. Wolf. I think that's the best description. And for the song that's the most important, I don't think Savannah knows this, but I'm going to tell the story. We met one weekend at an anime convention dressed as the exact same character. That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
So I think it was like a week after she shared the song on my timeline and wrote something. But I don't remember what she wrote, but I just remember the song. And the song is Movie of Your Life by Spencer Day. So from that kind of moment on, I've always just like listened to that song like once a month since then, like 5 or 6 years ago. But
that's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I can't really think of a song that describes me because I think it depends on what stage of life I'm in at the moment. It changes.
Kind of me too.
Yeah, it changes so often. So, but I would say a song that I think is really important to me that just resonates with me a lot is Bigger on the Inside by Amanda Palmer. It's like an 8 to 10 minute song. It's just this really long song that the singer Amanda Palmer wrote kind of at this very low point in her life. She just plays it on her ukulele. It's just her and her ukulele, and she had a friend come in and play the cello for her for the recording. But it's kind of a song about how she's trying to see the light in these different points of self-doubt that she arrives in. It's points where, you know, there are haters all over her page just making her feel worse about all her insecurities. There are points when people, you know, really look up to her from very, very low points of her life, and she doesn't feel deserving of that because she's like, I don't feel like I'm that important of a person. And then she wrote this at a time when her best friend in the world was dying of cancer, and she's like, here I am complaining about all my silly little problems when my friend is lying in bed dying, and I don't feel like my problems are valid when I'm sitting across from him from his hospital bed in the waiting room. And so I think it's just a song about, you know, find the light in points of self-doubt, and it's these times where she's remembering all these little things that people told her that made her uplifted. So it's a very bittersweet song about how, you know, you can hit rock bottom, but look up. Look up.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
It's a great song. It's very good.
Go listen to it, everybody.
Yes.
And Amanda Palmer, wife of Neil Gaiman, for those of you who don't know how to connect the dots. So
also, really great song. Also speaks to me, Girl in Acronism by Dresden Dolls. That
yes.
Yeah, so that was the other one. Yeah.
Singer, yes.
Awesome. Lisa.
Well, I'm going to go way back, and the song that really means a lot to me, even though I'm not a man, the title is Simple Man, the version by Bad Company.
Oh!
I also like, oh, my mind's blank, and help me out, Simple Man by, is it Lynyrd Skynyrd?
Yeah.
But my favorite version is the one by Bad Company, because to me it basically just says, you know, you do you, I'll do me, and, you know, just the one line is, freedom is the only thing that means a damn to me, but it ain't easy. So I'm just supportive of everybody being themselves and doing them.
Yeah.
So that's what I like about that song.
That's excellent.
Yeah. For me, one of the songs that's always struck home to me is by India Ari, and it's the song Video. And she's like, I'm not, you know, it's a similar message, and it's the same message as like a Maya Angelou thing, but it's just, you know, I'm not the girl in the video. My life is not determined by the price of my clothes.
Mm-hmm.
And she talks about, you know, whether or not she paints her toes or shaves her leg is depends on what mood she's in. And if that's what you're looking for, she does what she does her.
Mm-hmm.
And so that one's always meant a lot to me. And then I, and from a music perspective, and I have to thank my best friend Sonia, because she's the one who kind of introduced me to both of these songs. But the other one is the Robert Randolph Band has a song called Ain't Nothing Wrong With That, and I could just listen to that over and over again, because it just talks about, doesn't matter what kind of song it is, you just need to do that. And my family has always been a little bit musical. My dad sang in choir and stuff like that. My grandmother always sang. My aunt on my dad's side always sang. And then myself and my three brothers, we are all sang. We all took piano at different times and all that kind of stuff. And Starnsler can attest, when he came to the first Christmas, we're all 24 of my family just are singing in four-part harmony at Christmas. But my mom has never been a singer. She will tell you that she doesn't sing and stuff like that. But growing up, it was always my mom's singing that I remembered, because she would get so happy about it. And even when we were at church, there were certain songs that I would, you know, on the way our church worked was on Saturday nights, they would have favorites, so you could raise your hand and request a certain song. And the songs that I would request were always the ones that my mom would just really get into, because I enjoyed watching her do that. And, you know, whatever your religious beliefs are, you know, there's a verse in the Bible that talks about making a joyful noise. And I think just as people, we need our lives to be joyful. Take the joy from what you can. Like you said, take that moment, because you can dwell in the darkness all the time, but it's the joy that's going to get you from day to day to day. And, you know, I always used to point out to my mom, it says noise, Mom. It says joyful noise. So it doesn't matter whether you think you can sing or not. You know, we would tease her. She's like, I can't carry a tune in a bucket. I can't even carry it in a pickup truck. But, you know, it's just be joyful about it. And it was her joy and her passion about it that was always what made me so happy and made me want to sing or made me want to play the piano, because it made her happy and I could see that. And I think when a song can make you stand up and dance, that's the song, or make you want to, you know, just shout or smile or sing along, that's that music. So anything that does that to me, that's, you know, my songs depend on what mood I'm in that day, but if they can make me respond, then that's the song for me that day.
I want to piggyback on that about the whole mom thing is when my daughters, you know, when they were growing up, I would sing in front of them, and I don't sing in front of anybody because I've got that voice that'll peel paint off the wall. And so when I would be singing around the house, I would just be hoping that maybe God fixes children's ears to where their moms sound better.
Oh. I think they do, though. You know, it's like, well, it's just like there was a, there's a children's book, and this little girl's lost, and she's crying, and she's like, and the people in the village are like, well, who's your mom? She's like, she's the most beautiful woman in the world. And so they kept bringing these beautiful women, and they weren't there, and then they brought other women, and wasn't her, and then they bring forward this woman that, you know, is missing a few teeth, and she's got, you know, her a handkerchief over her head, and you know, she's not slender and all this stuff, and you know, it's all in graphics, so they're not explaining what it is, but they bring forth and they're like, there's my mama, the most beautiful woman in the world. And I think that's, you know, when you have that joy or passion, that's what makes it beautiful. I've seen some outwardly beautiful people who are some of the ugliest people I've ever seen, because there's just nothing there. And so I think it kind of ties into that. And that's my sermon for today. So any final thoughts on songs? Thank you, everybody. I have now quite a playlist. I will listen to them all.
Two more.
And report back. Yes, go ahead.
Not a Pretty Girl in Fuel by Annie DeFranco.
Well, now, that is five songs that mean something special to you. No. Any others you want to jump in there with, Tiffle?
She's come on, like, throw some in there.
Well, my song that means the most to me is L-O-V-E by Nat King Cole. My dad and I would listen to Nat King Cole all the time, and much like you with your mom, he would sing, and he was he was not a shy man whatsoever, but for some reason, if you called out his singing, he would stop. But he had the most beautiful voice, deep, deep, like Frank Sinatra-esque voice. And if you're familiar with the song L-O-V-E, that L is for the way you look at me. And like in the second verse of that, he really kicks it up a notch. And I can just think of that song and hear my dad is like just saying, like, you know, V is very, very, like, very deep. And it just means the world to me, that song. That's because awesome. Listening to him in the car, so
yeah. See, that's the best part of songs, is when it's connected to something good. Yeah.
Well, then I get to throw out one more. And Savannah's gonna cringe. Every time, and I love Guns N' Roses. Every time I hear "Sweet Child of Mine," it reminds me of Savannah, because when it would come on the radio, she does look like Savannah.
With a top hat,
I have a top hat. That's the bad part. I walked into my living room with just wearing a top hat one day. And my sister was like, "Oh my God, Slash, you're a big fan."
But every time that would come on in the car, where nobody else but Savannah could hear it, I would sing that to her.
That's a sweet song too. So it's a sweet moment.
Well, thank you guys again for coming hanging out after having such happy moments. If you want to get a little freaked out on a tour and wax off, when the furniture comes after you, make sure you go back and listen to episode 129 where we tell some ghost stories. But check you guys out at waxawghost.eventbrite.com. Friday and Saturday nights from 6 to 10. And at least for the month of March, you guys will actually be there live. They have some actor walkers that will be going on possibly after that. So if you want to actually meet the people on the radio, go now.
On the air.
Go now. And make sure to check them out. And, you know, if something new comes up, I hope you guys will come back and tell us about it.
Absolutely. Sure. Like I said, turning North Carolina into a theme park. See what's next.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm
already got a circus in City Hall, so. With that, I'm pushing the button.
Push the button.
Thank you for listening to Guardians of the Geekery. For more information, go to guardiansofthegeekery.com. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/guardiansofthegeekery and on Twitter at CLTGOG. Music used by Guardians of the Geekery, Lock and Load, and A Day in the Sun by Jens Kilstoffner. Licensed under Creative Commons.
You know what song doesn't mean much to me? This song. Right here, this song.
It means that the show is over and it makes me sad.